Good morning. Amen. It's a pleasure for me to be here this morning to share what God's laid on my heart to help us along our way. Thank you is inadequate from both Joanne and myself for all this display of and real genuine love that we received last week and even today. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. We've entered into a new phase of our lives, being a full-time grandma and grandpa. And it ain't easy. We have two of our grands here today, Lily and Mason from Concord. They've been with us since Thursday. Along with two other grands, we went to Ocean Breeze Water Park in Virginia Beach on Friday. We were there at 10 when they opened, actually a little before 10. And I think we left at about 5:30, 6 o'clock. So, I'm still recuperating from that. I'm more inclined to the lazy river, but they're not. It was up this slide and up that slide and around that slide, and wow, we rested well that night, but we had a lot of fun. And that's the main thing. I remember when I was born, one of my grandmas, only thing I remember about her was going to a funeral, and both my grandpas were deceased. So we want to be grandmas and grandpas to our kids as much as we can. And it's a blessing to do that. I do look forward to this phase of my life, this change. And of course, as Pastor Bill said, I'm still going to be around. But I'm still going to be gone some too. But I taught in Pequimas County for about 12 years before entering the pastorate. Every now and then I see a student. I had mostly guys. I taught kind of like a hands-on physics class, and we had a lot of guys, a few girls, but mostly guys. And every now and then I see one. And I was in AutoZone not too long ago, and Matt Toons is in there. Matt's changed a lot since then, and he says I haven't changed, but he would just, you know, give me a compliment. But anyway, I said, "What are you doing now?" I said, "Well, I'm pastoring, but I'm getting ready to retire." He looked at me and said, "Preachers don't ever retire." And I said, "Well, I guess you're right. We're just entering a new phase of ministry." But we've been blessed, and we are so thankful, and we're looking forward to heading in this new direction. I want to share a message this morning that some points from which I got. I'll be honest, I want to give credit where credit's due. We went to Atlanta. Was it last weekend, Joe Kent? Weekend before last. And we went to the Buckhead Church in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta. And a pastor there by the name of Billy Phoenix preached on success and successful living. And I'm going to use some of the points that he used. So, Sarah, I'm sharing some of what he shared and some other points that I picked up along the way. You know, as we get to this stage of our lives, you know, my life, your life, most of us, we're getting older. Every day is another day. Every day is another blessing. Every day is another opportunity. Years go by faster now than they seem to before. But time marches on. And as we get older, sometimes we have a tendency to try to cover our age in some way or another. Our culture sort of demands that. But that's not true in many cultures of the world, especially in China and Zambia, which are two places the Lord allowed us to go see on short-term mission trips. In fact, the older you looked in China, the more attention you got. Wouldn't that be cool here? Wow. And Mike Jones shared the same thing about Zambia. So age is a blessing. I remember I was at East Carolina way back when, and a bunch of old knotty-headed guys from Pequimas County, three or four of us, were all going to East Carolina. We were like a bird out of a cage. We left Hartford, went to Greenville. We didn't have to be in at a certain time, all that sort of stuff. And we were beginning to do some of those kind of things. But there was a guy there named Eddie. I remember his first name, but not his last name, who was a veteran. He'd been in the service. And Eddie kind of, when he saw us getting a little on the edge, would grab us by the neck and say, "Hey, guy, you better watch out." And we respected that. And I remember me making a comment one day to some of my friends. This older gentleman was there as a student. And we gave him the nickname Father Time. And a very disrespectful name. But I made the comment, there goes Father Time. Eddie grabbed me by the shoulder and said, come over here, boy. I said, okay. He said, you making fun of that man because he's old? I said, he said, you're making fun of him because he's old. He said, listen to me. You'll be old one day if you're lucky. And I've been lucky. It's a blessing to be here and to share. All right, let's get to some of the points that God laid on my heart. Along with age also comes a friend of mine who we were, my buddy Tommy Lane and I were buddies in high school. And a few years ago, we saw each other at a funeral of one of our classmates. And he said, CD, you know what? I said, what's that, Tommy? He said, a few years ago, we went to high school. Now we're old men, and we're really thankful that we made it so far. Let's talk about success. What is success? What does it really mean to be successful? Many people are striving for success, trying to accomplish certain things, trying to get so much accomplished in your life. Success is certainly important, and what does it really mean to us? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me to be successful? And to do that, how do we evaluate success? How do we measure success? Well, the world measures success in many ways, perhaps different than we do. But most importantly, how does the Bible define success? What is it important? How is it defined? Because that's really what it all amounts to. That's one thing I've learned in my years. The Bible is true. The Bible has the answer to every problem we'll ever face. And it gives us the right direction to follow. It's there. We just need to seek it and turn it on in our lives and watch. We live in a society that tells us we can have everything we want. Go for it. Pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and do your thing. Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't work and we shouldn't try to achieve, but we should be wise in what we set as our goals, how to determine success and what it's going to be. And remember that success is not necessarily all about me. Not all about me. We too often cast values aside that are important to us. We were in Atlanta, as I said, a couple of weekends ago, and I noticed this billboard that sort of sums up a lot of what we see in our world today about commitment. About commitment. And this billboard read, undo, I do. Divorce, fast, easy, and affordable. Just call the 800 number. That was a billboard on Interstate 85 right in the heart of Atlanta. And I think about that, and I know there are situations that happen that we can't control, but it was almost like saying, let's undo, I do, and you can pay me in the process. We have to be committed. We have to understand what commitment's all about. And one of the points that Pastor Billy made Sunday morning says, I'm going to read the quote just as he said it. Some people climb the ladder to success all their lives, only to discover in their sunset years that it's leaning on the wrong building. What we thought was important, what we felt like was what we wanted to achieve, in later life, turned out to be the wrong thing. The wrong thing. What should our guide be to have a successful life? Who can we trust to guide us, to show us the way, to be our director, to be our shepherd? Well, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, my favorite verses, says these things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. That's a promise from God, plain and simple, that if we trust him, we will be successful. He will give us the things to strive for. His word teaches us the truth. His word will guide us through. A famous preacher named Dwight L. Moody, many of you have heard much about his life, made 5 points about trust. Trust in yourself, and you are doomed to disappointment. How many times have you disappointed yourself? How many times have I disappointed myself? How many times have I had to forgive myself for making a wrong decision? Trust in yourself, and you will be doomed for disappointment. Trust in your friends, and they will die and leave you. I experienced that in 1998. My dear wife, whom I loved and trusted completely, died, I thought, many years too soon from cancer. But we need a friend who will live on, and that friend is God. Trust in money, and you may have it taken from you. What do we have to guard against so much now? Identity theft. Why? Because they want to steal from us. Steal on our credit cards. Steal on whatever they can. Bank accounts. Trust in your reputation, and some slanderous tongue may blast it. It happens. But trust in God. Trust in God, and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity. Have there been times when I've been not understood God's hand? Yes, there have been. And that word tells us that when those times come when we do not understand, we must trust, and trust only the one who is worthy of our trust, and that's God alone. He will show us the way. He will assure us. The world defines success much differently. Success is how much money we can accumulate, how much money or things we can buy with the money we have. Some of the success is defined as effectiveness. Can I make things happen? Well, can we make the right things happen? Some define success as whether their job suits them enough, whether they have enough time to have fun with the money they're making. And I know there's a balance there, a delicate balance. Ultimately, many define success by how their lives will be summed up at their funeral. We need to see in our world today, and Lord, oh, wow, things are happening today that are beyond my comprehension. Years ago, I just can't understand it. And I think, what in the world is happening? What is coming? It's coming loose at the seams. Well, God reminded me, I'm sovereign. I'm in control. These things are happening. It's not because I'm not in control. But we have trust. We have put values as to personal things and not values that are established by God's word. What is right in God's eyes? What does God say about marriage? What does God say about abortion? What does God say about gluttony? What does God say about different things that we sometimes think are important? That's what we need to follow. And we need to stand on that. People say it's not hurting anyone. Why not? It's okay, they're not bothering anyone, but still it affects other people. Just as you throw a pebble into a stream or a still body of water, and you see the ripples go out and out and out and out. On a Sunday afternoon, years ago, my dad used to let me walk down to the railroad bridge, back of my house. It's still there. It's old, but it's still there. And we would throw stones out in the river and watch the ripples. The fact is that decisions that we make not only affect us, but affect people around us as well. So we need to make wise decisions. How does the Bible define success? Well, we see some scriptures that are here to share with you, that I want to share with you. From 1 Kings, chapter 2, verse 3. What did the Lord your God command? Do what the Lord your God commands you and follow his teaching. This is David talking to his son. Obey everything written in the law of Moses and you will be a success. No matter what you do or where you go, you will be a success. We will be a success. We follow what God directs us to do. He will not fail us. There's a sign on the end of the old chapel. It's been there for a long time. It used to be a neon sign back when signs were older. And the word said, Jesus never fails. Trust him. That's true. It was true then. It's true today. Obey God's law. There will be a success no matter what happens or where we go. In Mark 8, Jesus declared how to be successful in the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your entire mind, and your strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. This is the beginning of true biblical success. In addition, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we see Christ's followers display the fruit of the Spirit that resides in him, and that's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And this is all enabled through us by the power of the Holy Spirit as we allow him to work in and through our lives. Since trust in God is a key component to successful life, I'd like for us to look at just a few elements of what a successful life or trust would be, trusting God would be. Trust implies obedience. It means working with God to reduce the results. It means going all out for him. Monday night of the revival, I shared a message that God had given to me from a book written by Mark Batterson entitled All In. Well, there's also a part of that book called Our Light. We have to be all in with Christ, allowing him to come into us and committing our lives to him, but we have to then take it out, all out, to our community and to our world. In the hotel room where we stayed in Atlanta, there was a little advertisement on the little card at our desk that showed this scrumptious dessert. I mean, I don't know what it was, what its name was, but it sure did look good. Well, the last 16 weeks or so, 18 I guess now, I saw some things happening in my body physically that didn't need to happen. And a lot of the problem was more weight than it needed to have. So I began to change my lifestyle with the help of my dear wife, who cooked for me very nourishingly and that sort of thing. But I looked at that dessert, and it said, why not go all out and have one of these desserts? Well, I didn't go all out then. But yesterday, at Woodard's Pharmacy, with our two grandchildren, I got a strawberry cheesecake cup of ice cream. I went all out. But we need to be all out. We need to be obedient to Him. We need to be like our Camden, New Jersey team, willing to be all in, to be all out, as they shared Wednesday night from the time they went to New Jersey and as they shared with the people who needed to know about Jesus. We all need to know, but it seems like from what I could see there, that area really didn't need to know about Jesus. To go and share, let people know about Christ. We cannot sit down, fold our hands, and expect things to work themselves out. Now, we need to be wise. We need to be workers, not shirkers. But I also had a friend tell me one time, which I think was very good advice. Let God open the door. Don't try to kick it down. Let Him open it. And when God opens the door of service to us, or opportunity to us, or a way that we can reach out and show the love of Christ, He will bless us. We must permit God to direct our efforts and command our efforts. We must be willing to work when He wants us to work. And He wants us to be faithful followers of Him. As Pastor Bill has shared, as Will is coming in, Will is working much less time than I was. He's going to need your help. Yours. The one sitting in the seat you're sitting in. And many of you are. But we need many more to step up and be God's hands and God's feet and be successful in living the life that Christ has for us. We cannot be taken away by distractions. It's easy to be distracted. We cannot get stuck in the mud. Let me tell you a good stuck in the mud story. This week, Tuesday, my grandson, Ethan, who's not with us this morning, and I were in the yard. And I was doing some little piddly thing that I love to do, planting something, whatever. And he comes out with a little cup in his hand with some applesauce in it. It's hot. I'm at hot outside. And there's some nice, cool applesauce sent from my dear wife. So I consume that applesauce. And little Ethan says, "Grampy." I've got three names. Papa, Granddad, and Grampy. So just keep saying something and eventually I'll respond. I'm standing on something. I said, "What is it?" And he reached down and he pulls up this little turtle. He's about this big, I'd say. And that turtle was stuck in the mud. I think what might have happened is I might have run over that guy with the lawnmower and pushed him down into the mud, in the sand, up the yard. So there he is, his little head's about just a little ways out. His little feet are like this, and I think he's dead. And he said, "Grandpa, what can we do with him?" I said, "Well, we don't want to put him back there. Let's put him over here on a little dry place." He said, "Why don't we take him to the river?" I said, "Okay, let's take him to the river." So we walked back to the river, and he puts that little turtle in the water, and nothing happens for about a minute. And then a couple of bubbles come up, a couple more bubbles come up, a couple more bubbles come up, and the head comes out. And then two front feet come out, and two back feet come out. And he moves around like that and takes off like a shot. He said, "Grampy, I just saved that turtle's life." We need to save some spiritual lives, not by what we do, but what God does through us. We don't need to get stuck in the mud. We cannot deal on regrets. Yes, we have times that we have made mistakes. Yes, we've gone through times when we don't understand what's going on. Yes, we've had these issues that happen in our lives that we don't understand. But I've said this many times to prisoners at Kairos weekends, and because I've learned it myself. You can use a distraction or a mistake one of two ways. You can make it a stepping stone, or you can make it a stumbling block. We cannot let all situations in life that have caused us problems be stumbling blocks. Trust implies patience. God may not work out everything immediately, but we need to wait patiently on Him. We want things answered right away. And sometimes they are. I remember Mr. Norman Larrabee, who was a member of the church for many, many years, given a situation that he learned of. I'm not sure if it was a personal thing or one that he was told. But something had happened years ago, and the horse that they used, a mule they used to ply with, had fallen down and was hurt or didn't seem to be able to get up on its own. And Papa sent word to Mama and the children in the house to start praying. And he said they started praying for that horse, that mule. I heard a man say one time that used to operate a ranch for children that were disabled. And he said, somebody asked him, said, you pray for a horse? He said, I wouldn't have a horse that I wouldn't pray for. And they prayed that God would help. And he said, the young man was looking back, waiting for the mule to get up, knowing that God was going to answer that prayer. And he did, or he did. So God doesn't always answer right away. And if he doesn't, we need to wait patiently for him to make his decision. Joanne waited 9.5 years for God to bring me into her life. I waited 3.5 years for her to come into my life. But it was God's perfect time. There were others. Trust me, there were others. That's okay. But they weren't the right ones. And when you know it's the right one, you know God's in it. So we need to wait patiently for him. But at the same time, we need to be persistent in our prayers, to lift them up, to continue to bring it to God and ask for his direction. Trust brings safety. In Isaiah 12, chapter 12, verse 2 says, I will trust and not be afraid. This is what this is the way God wants us to trust. He wants us to have complete confidence in him. And in Psalm 56:3, as you can see, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. He tells us. Jim can share you that experience. He's been through it. Jim Anderson, several years ago, went through a situation where it was absolute and complete total trust in God. And he did. Trust him all the way through. Success is an exercise in trust. God wants much, much more for us than we can imagine. He wants our total commitment to him and our obedience. Not an undo I do, but I do and I'm in to the end. Commitment to him. I want to share another story with you from the book All In by Bart Madison. This is an example of someone being all out for Christ. All out for the cause they were supporting. February the 19th, 1519. The Spanish explorer Hernan Cortes set sail for Mexico with an entourage of 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, and 553 soldiers. Interesting, these numbers. Remember them. The indigenous population of Mexico, when he arrived, were 5 million. They were to establish a colony for Spain in Mexico. The odds were stacked against that group of men, 7,541 to 1. 7,541 to 1. Two previous expeditions had failed to ever establish a settlement in the New World, yet Cortez conquered much of the South American continent. This is what he did. Upon landing, he gave this order: burn the ships. As the crew watched their fleet of ships burn and sink, they came to terms that retreat was not an option. And so did those who were there, because they knew that that group was not going back. Perhaps we need, you, me, to burn some ships. Ships that take us back to where we were before. Ships of disobedience. Ships of self-centeredness. Ships of picking up old habits again. Perhaps we should cut off the path to retreat. My son, Marshall, was praying about changing his job. He had a good job. It was a very demanding job, but it was a good job. And he had a chance to go in business with his good friend. And he said he prayed about it for 6 months. And God led him to where he left his job, and he went with this other man, and they're doing a very good job, a very successful business. I told him, I said, don't burn any bridges. You might have to go back. That's one thing. But when we think about our spiritual lives and what we've come from, we don't need to go back to. We need to burn some ships. And I'm saying we, including me. We need to burn some ships. When I first came into ministry, I've been blessed by very honorable, significant people being a part of my life. And when I heard the call of ministry, I began to talk with some pastors. One of those pastors whom I value greatly, his opinion and his judgment, is Ricky Bishop. Some of you know him. He's a pastor of Coinjot Baptist Church. I've known him through the Emmaus community and through Kairos. And I sat down with Ricky and talked. And then I had some situations that I needed his wise counsel on. And I remember Ricky told me something one day that I'll never forget. And I want to share it with you this morning. When it comes to making the wrong kind of decisions, I was taught never to use the word stupid, because you don't want to call someone that. That's not good. But he used the term stupidville. And I looked at him kind of funny. He said, you know, just about everybody, and you have to hear his mind and voice when he says it, just about everybody goes to Stupidville. He said, there's a few that see the sign and realize what it is and turn around and come back. But most of them go. Sometimes it's for a little while. Sometimes they go back a time or two. He said, sometimes they go and they never return. Getting consumed in what we want, of disobeying God's command, making our own decisions without seeking God and seeking wise counsel. And he said, every now and then, you just have to remember that sometime in our lives, most all of us have spent some time in Stupidville. We don't want to go back. We want to burn that bridge that takes us to that part of our lives that's not good. Tonight, there's a wonderful opportunity to see a wonderful movie. Its focus is intercessory prayer. Now, trust me, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever seen a movie, which is key part of that movie was intercessory prayer. It's good. I've seen it four times. I will see it the fifth time tonight. And every time I see it, I learn something from it. Miss Clara, who is an intercessor for others, praying. One more story, and then I'll share the closing. The last Kairos weekend I served on, I had an opportunity to sit at the table of a table clergy. I sat at the table with a young man who was one of my sponsorees. His first name was Johnny. He was 23 years old. He was on his third term in prison. He did have a date that he would be released. I think it's like 3 years away. And I could tell when he first came down on Thursday night that he had a big old facade up there. He was tough and rough and tough. He wasn't all that big, but he was tough and rough and tough. You know, macho. That kind of thing. But during the course of that weekend, he sat down with me. And he said, I want to ask you something. I said, I'll answer you the best way I can. He said, I have ruined so many lives. He was involved in human trafficking, slave trade. I have ruined so many lives. People, I don't even know how many people it is that I have literally ruined. I have tricked them. I have lied to them. I have deceived them. I have used them. I've even used my wife. I've done all these things. Is there any hope for me? I said, Johnny, there is. It's in Jesus. He said, but that's not my faith. I said, what is your faith? He told me something. I don't know what it was. Some Caribbean, Jamaican, whatever it was. I said, you gotta believe in Jesus. He's the only one who can help you. What do I do? I said, you pray, you talk to him, you tell him. You ask him to forgive you. You ask him to forgive you those ones that you've hurt. You have to do that, Johnny. He said, how do I do it? I said, just start talking. Just start praying right now. And he stopped. He never shut by his head. He just kept his head up and he said, Jesus, forgive me for all the lives I've ruined, for all the peoples that I've hurt, for all, I don't even know how many people it is. He went on and on and on. He said, I just can't begin to tell you how many people, lives that I have destroyed. I am sorry. We would say, some of us might say, man, that's kind of weak. But look, Jesus said, all you gotta do is confess. Ask for his forgiveness, and he will forgive you. I said, that's what he's done, Johnny. You ask him to forgive you, he will. Now, what can I do with all the people's lives that I have ruined? I said, Holy Spirit said, tell him to pray. Pray. I don't know their names. It doesn't matter. You pray for every life that you have ruined, that God will use them in some way to bring them close to you. He said, that's what I'm going to do. I want to end with a song. I'm not going to sing it. That I heard years ago, and God sort of brought it to my mind again when I was seeking his direction for what to share with you this morning. It's a song written by Don Moen and sung by Don Moen. And the title is When It's All Been Said and Done. I want to go over the words, and then I want you to pray. and give an opportunity for you to come. And burn some bridges. Burn some ships if they need to happen. Ask God to help us, to guide us. Like we do with the Canes. We ask a person, if you died tonight, this night, if you never lived to see this dawn of a day tomorrow, would you be in heaven? If we don't have that absolute assurance, we need to get it settled this morning. We need to get it settled this morning. If we come forward, it's not saying you've fallen off, you've done miserable things. It's just saying you want to be committed to Him all the way. And when it's all been said and done, you want it to be like this. When it's all been said and done, there's just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for lost rewards will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness. You find purest gold in miry clay, like in Johnny's life, like in my life, like in your life, turning sinners into saints. We had a marvelous Sunday school lesson this morning talking about the saints that live in a holy life. And always sing your praise. I will always sing your praise here on earth and in heaven after. For you've joined me in my true home when it's all been said and done. When it's all been said and done in your life and in my life, will anything but what we've done for Him matter? No, it will not. So as we have an opportunity to play that song, if you will. If you feel led to come forward and pray and burn some bridges and burn some ships or just commit your life to Him in some way, do it. If you want some of us to pray with you, just let us know, we will. You want to be sought by yourself privately, that's fine. But let it be a message that when you leave this place today, everything is settled. Everything is under the blood of Jesus and you're ready to meet Him in eternity. Let that be our testimony today. You pray.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? And when it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. And I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after. For you've shown me heaven's my true home. When it's all been said and done, you're my life when life is gone. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, I live my life.
Lord, as we leave this place, we ask you by the power of the Holy Spirit to speak in our hearts, to move in our lives. Let us be all totally and completely committed to you, totally obedient to you, feeling strong and secure and fearless in you, and trusting you completely in all ways. Lord, we thank you for the love that Christ showed to us when he came and gave his life as a ransom for many. Thank you for going to that cross, Jesus, paying the price for my sin for many. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, remind us that we have a charge to keep. We have things to do. We have to be about your business and all we do and say. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.